Good afternoon. And peace be with you. Thank you for coming in out in this rain, and I guess for the folks in the Pacific Northwest, this is just kind of like a mist, but thank you for coming and making it important to you to come and spend time together as we gather around Jesus' word. And we're grateful, Nick, for you to come and play for us for our Christmas Eve service. That's about the extent of the announcements that we have for tonight, so you'll be relieved in that. I'll make it up because it's a really, really long sermon. No, I'm just teasing you on that. So we start our service with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It is hymn number 34 in your green hymnal. Let us sing as unto the Lord. Please stand if you're able. We come together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Now, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. He is Christ. Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our judge, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good afternoon. The first reading this afternoon is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, and this can be found on page 1069 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with the 10th verse. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Next, we will read Psalm 110, verses 1 through 4, responsively, and that's printed in your bulletin on page 6. Psalm 110, a psalm of David, beginning with the first verse. My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, a God who displays his wrath every day. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows. Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. The epistle this afternoon is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, and this can be found on page 1902 in the Pew Bible. 1 John, beginning with the 1 John chapter 4, beginning with the 7th verse. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, from the first chapter, glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel this afternoon is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and can be found on page 1497 in your Pew Bible. Matthew records, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and he said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. That is, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So this evening, we are taking a look at Joseph. And we learn enough from Matthew and Luke to know that Joseph was betrothed to Mary at the time Jesus was born. And we know that he played a role in Jesus' childhood. However, by the time that Jesus began his ministry, Joseph had died. Joseph is the man who had to deal with a shocking fact that his betrothed wife was pregnant, and he was not the father. And we aren't sure about when, we are not told, or how Joseph learned of Mary's condition. The Bible just doesn't say. And marriages back in those days were arranged in that culture so that it is possible that Mary's father broke the news to Joseph. It is also possible that Mary broke the news to Joseph herself. There's a movie, it's called The Nativity, and it suggests that Mary told no one until she returned from her visit with Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And by then, she was starting to show, and by then, there was no need to tell everyone, that their eyes could tell what the situation was. But regardless of how or when Joseph learned of Mary's condition, he was, I think we all could admit, in an extremely awkward position. The Bible doesn't tell us about Joseph's feelings in the situation. You can imagine that there must have been pain. There must have been grief. Oh, and there had to have been anger and many other emotions. But the Bible simply doesn't tell us. The Bible does tell us this, though. It tells us what Joseph did. According to the laws of Moses, the Mosaic law, the penalty for adultery, does anyone know what the penalty for adultery was? It's death, right? You're done. The penalty for adultery was death by stoning. And Joseph would have been perfectly within his rights to have dragged Mary out into the public courts and demanded the appropriate punishment. But he didn't do that. The Bible tells us Mary's husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. This means that Joseph was studying the law and studying the situation in hope that he could end the marriage without getting Mary killed. And even though he thought Mary had betrayed him, he was still willing to do the hard work to salvage the situation in Mary's best interests. In this, Joseph demonstrates something astounding. He demonstrates a special kind of love. This is not the hormone-driven love, animal instinct that our culture holds up as love. This is the real thing. This is a love that is ready to sacrifice. This is a love that is ready to do the hard work. This is the love that's ready to put the loved one ahead of self. True love does what needs to be done, even when, especially when, it hurts. The Bible, again, you're going to keep hearing this, the Bible doesn't tell us much about Joseph. But this one short account, it demonstrates him as a man of very high, high moral character. And as Joseph was researching the best way to deal with this difficult situation, well, that's when God shows up. And God showed him that he had other plans for Joseph. That God had chosen Joseph to be the guardian of Jesus as much as he had chosen Mary to be Jesus' mother. It's part of his plan. So God sent an angel to tell Joseph the truth about Mary and her child. And we read that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The angel gave Joseph the good news that Mary was still faithful. This was a miracle pregnancy. And that the child growing within her truly is the Messiah, the Son of God. So Joseph was faithful to the angel's message from God. We read that. That he stopped thinking about divorce. And instead, he took Mary under his protection as his wife. But he had no physical relationship with her until the baby was born. As the Bible says, and it's worth repeating, when Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Why is this important? Well, Joseph remained separate from Mary so that this would not only be a virgin conception, but it would also be a virgin birth. And Joseph cared. He cared for Jesus as if he were his own son. He saw to it that Jesus fulfilled all the ceremonial laws. We read in Scripture, Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, and he was presented and purified at the temple. And when danger came, Joseph escorted Jesus and his mother to Egypt to keep them safe. And when Jesus came of age, Joseph took Jesus to Jerusalem for the Passover. The Bible portrays Joseph as an excellent guardian for Jesus. Joseph responded well, but it all began with a big surprise. He knew the promises of the Messiah, and he believed they would be fulfilled. But who? How could you? How could any of us? Who would have thought that he would be fulfilled in your own home? Joseph, like most of us, expected important events to happen somewhere else, to somebody else. But God revealed the truth. God convinced Joseph and then graciously made him part of that eternal plan. Now, as we study the Bible, we see that God's plan often, his plans, they often catch his people off guard. He always seems to work in unexpected ways. Who could have expected to think that his pregnant fiance was a virgin? I mean, let's get real. It was unprecedented. It never happened before. Who would have imagined that God, the creator of the universe, would choose to become part of his creation? Who would have dreamt that he would come as a helpless baby? Think about that. God saves the world with a baby. God is almighty. God is all powerful. But this world does not understand what that means. This world, our world, your world, my world, expects power and might to express itself with grand displays of authority. God created the universe, and he gives it to us for our good and for our enjoyment. And we thank him. Oftentimes we thank him by asking, "So, what have you done for me lately?" We keep asking for signs because we forget that our very existence rests in his hands. We constantly desire something new, something fresh, something exciting. We look for the display of worldly power, worldly glory, or worldly wealth. The fact is, God does give us riches beyond our needs, but we are never content. And this is the reason that God's ways often seem so unexpected. Let me explain that. Jesus himself often told his disciples that the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer, that the Christ must die and rise from the dead. We read in Scripture that Moses quoted God's promise to Adam and Eve when he said, "This is God's promise. The woman's seed will crush the serpent's head." Isaiah, the prophet, which we heard tonight, Isaiah the prophet told us that the Lord will lay our iniquity on his servant and that his servant's stripes will heal us. And the psalmist gives us the words, Jesus will say from the cross, we hear these, my God, he cried out, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus pointed to all of these All of these and more. Those who knew Jesus, those who knew what the Messiah was going to do, would have anticipated, they should have anticipated the plan. But nevertheless, Jesus kept those promises. And it was all so unexpected. No one expected God to show his glory and power by sacrificing his only begotten Son. No one expected God to choose the cross for the battlefield. No one expected God to use death to be the weapon that God used against death, to defeat death. And then when Jesus did die, no one expected him to triumph over death and rise again. Who would have thought? Those who know him should have thought it. Those who hear his word and trust in him should have anticipated it all. And we should have known it from his own clear promises. What promises does God keep? All of them. But we still, we are surprised when he shows up. Who would anticipate that this God would choose us, that he would choose you, that he would choose me and make us his own, that he would forgive us, that he would renew us and call us his own children? God constantly surprises us with these gracious gifts. Now, Joseph, he was shocked when he learned about Mary's condition. And then the angel visited him in a dream and told him about the unexpected nature of the child in Mary's womb. And Joseph learned that his Savior was much closer to him than he ever expected. God chose Joseph to be the guardian to our Lord. And it is in this way that God gave Joseph a special place in the plan of our salvation. And in this unexpected way, God began his work of saving Mary and Joseph and all of us from our sins. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you please stand if you're able? This evening we will confess our faith together to the words of the Nicene Creed, which is found on page 4 in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from the heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate with the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom shall have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, by the incarnation of your eternal Son, you revealed that you are love. Give us true faith in Christ and his promise that by his conception, virgin birth, holy life, sacrificial death, and victorious resurrection, that our sins are forgiven and we are yours. Fill us with joy and lead us to proclaim your glad tidings to all people. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, by the gift of your Holy Spirit, we testify that your Son is the Savior of the world. Pour out your Spirit continually upon your people. Bless pastors as they proclaim Jesus, who became flesh to save us by dying and rising again. And open our mouths to praise the name of the one born in Bethlehem. Lord, in your mercy, remember all families, Lord. Make each household a place of prayer and devotion to your word. Bless parents of young children with patience. Give comfort to the childless. Abide with the fatherless, widows and orphans, the lonely, and those separated from their families. Lord, in your mercy, King of Israel, the one born in Bethlehem is the Son of David, and the Lord of David, to whom every knee shall bow. Look upon those who you have placed in authority, and grant that they would govern in wisdom and justice. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, in the birth of your Son, you have visited and redeemed your people. Continue to visit those who are lonely and sick, recovering or near death, including those that we lift up in Our hearts right now are out loud. Let your presence, Lord, be a comfort to them and give them perseverance until that time that you grant healing, relief, deliverance, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who feeds us in body and soul, give true faith in your promises to all who receive your Son's body and blood this night. Sustain your people in humble repentance and godly living. Lord, in your mercy, remember the bereaved, O Lord. Give comfort to all who grieve this night, that they might find through the celebration of our Lord's nativity, that they might find hope in the midst of sorrow, knowing that Christ was born to conquer death and give eternal life to all believers. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord, all these things we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, your own Son, whom you have made known to us in the mystery of the Word made flesh, who has fulfilled all the law and the prophets and delivered us to you as your own people through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that we may do what is good and right and pleasing in your sight. To you will be all glory and honor, worship and praise, now and forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace.
Merry Christmas.
He's just a man in the booth.
So I fix a lot.
Yes. Just walk right on by.
I came in this morning and I was like, oh, you're just
Thank you.
Please stand if you're able. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks, and then he broke it, giving it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know, as Paul's words, "As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again." Let's now pray the prayer that Jesus did give to us together. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." You may be seated. All of this story, God's redemption, his creation, all of it, his Son, who we're celebrating, all of this is done, and you heard me emphasize it, for you, for me. That's astounding. That's surprising. That's one of those look up to the sky and say, "Lord, I wouldn't have done it that way." And that's exactly right, because he's God, and his ways are not my ways or your ways, but his ways are wonderful. They are true, and he keeps his promise. His promise is that whoever confesses with their lips his Son as Lord and Savior will be saved. And I heard those confessions tonight. So the usher will bring you forward. Come, the table is prepared.
shameful death, a painful death, a horrible death. But it wasn't Nancy Mellon there, it was his love for you. That you would be with him, all who would believe in him would be with him forever for you in his company. Because it's covering you in his grace and keeping you in his peace and his joy. Amen.
Thank you.
now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn this evening is Silent Night. It's hymn number 65 in your green hymnal.